of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we want to begin our broadcast today by going to our Heavenly Father in a word of prayer. Will you join us if you can and care to do so? Let us pray. Our Father, we come into thy great presence at this time with thankful hearts for the sparing of our lives throughout the days that are past and gone. We are thankful for the many blessings that thou hast bestowed upon us, Father, both those that are physical blessings and the spiritual blessings that come to those who are in Christ Jesus. We pray on this broadcast today, Father, for all who hear the truth. We're glad for brethren who make this possible that it might be sounded forth without addition, subtraction, or alteration. We pray for those who are sick. We also pray for those who mourn the loss of loved ones. There are sick people in hospitals, nursing homes, convalescent homes, many other places, and we trust that thou will be with them. Perhaps some of them are listening to the broadcast today. We trust they may gain strength as we talk to them about an interesting subject that can affect their lives. And we, of course, have a great thought in our mind for those who are in sorrow, realizing the consolation of thy word can be a so-called spiritual balm of Gilead that can strengthen and sustain them in times of sorrow. We pray for our nation and nations of the world, and may men be conscious today again that thou art God and doth rule in the affairs of men. Thus may they not be against thee, but for thee. We pray for this broadcast as we sound forth the teaching on Christian living, that it may go into the homes and the hearts of many who listen. Be with the brethren now who make this possible, that they may continue to proclaim the gospel before a dying and sinful world. This is our prayer we humbly ask in Jesus' name, and amen. A lady asked me the other day, she said, is there really a joy in living the Christian life? Now, she was contemplating Christianity, but she realized that there were circumstances that faced religion that were confusing to her mind. And I know what she was talking about. You know, a lot of times when I receive a report on radio or in the newspaper or TV about someone who has become a scoundrel in the religious scene, you know, I suppose there's not any activity in life where there can be any more corruptness, where there can be any more swindling, where there can be any more falsifying than in religion. It's become quite a game for some people. Now, I'm not judging their heart. I'm simply going to leave the judgment to God. And so people look at this, and I find that there are people who seem to get kind of a treat out of this, to think that people are divided religiously, and there are people who are swindling other individuals, and they say, well, this is the way Christianity is. And you know, when you look at that, well, a lot of people just lump it under one thing. And they say, well, that's the way the church is. That's the way the Bible leads people. And so this becomes a strong, consoling argument to people who do not want to serve the Lord. So I realize this lady had a problem. Now, when I see a circumstance like that or hear about it, it doesn't cause me to rejoice. It caused me to realize that here's something that will cause us just to work harder, to let our light shine before men, to show that not all people are like that. But in the conversation, she said, is there a real joy in living the Christian life? And I said, well, I'm not going to place this upon human experience. I'm simply going to take your Bible. And she got me a copy of the text. I had mine out in the car. I said, I can go get it. She said, well, here's a copy of the Bible. And I said, I want to read a couple of verses to you here from the Philippian epistle. And as I was reading this, I was thinking about the outline that we're giving to you on the broadcast today. You may want to copy it. If you do, I certainly feel free to drop a card or letter. No cost or obligation. We'll be glad to send it to you. In the first verse of the second chapter of Philippians, Paul had this to say, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. You know, the interesting thing is that this deals with that question. The question is there a joy or are there joys in living the Christian life? Now look at what we have here. It isn't the fact that there isn't consolation in Christ, because anyone who knows Jesus, who truly has become a part of him and given him a chance in their life, you know, that's important. I remember driving home when I used to live in eastern Indiana a good many years ago through Indianapolis, and sometimes it'd be quite late at night when I went through on my way home, and I always noticed this neon sign. I don't know who had it up there. I don't know who is responsible for it, but I saw that sign that said, give God a chance. And I thought about that, and I thought, well, if people really give God a chance according to his will, they're going to find that God is a lot different than they really think him to be. You see, if you simply look at the world here, and just like in the news media, with all due respect to our news reporters and our TV reporters, the things that are bad, the things that are terrible, the things that are horrible, that seems to make the front page. That seems to be news. And so people look at the bad things and they say, see, that's the way religion is. Well, they're not giving God a chance in their life. So it isn't a question here of Paul doubting that there's consolation in Christ. He isn't doubting there's any comfort in love. He isn't doubting that there's any fellowship of the Spirit or any bowels and mercies, realizing that bowels were looked upon as being the seat of affection. He said, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. The same love, one accord and one mind. These things are good. These things actually turn the lights on in your life spiritually. And so I said, now, does that answer your question? Well, she said, partially. But she said, how do you put these things to practice in your life? So I simply said, well, it's a joy to do what you're doing for Christ, because the first thing you have to have in your mind is that Christ is a winner. In the final analysis, Christ is going to be the winner. Now, there's never going to be a time where Christ is going to sit down at the table with the devil at the peace table and work out some type of coexistence between righteousness and unrighteousness. The Bible teaches very plainly that no man can serve two masters. It says that there's no concord or agreement between the Lord and a devil. And so there's not going to be any agreement between the Lord and sin. The Lord knows what sin is. The devil knows that he's doomed for eternal condemnation. And as I've related to a number of congregations, young people and older people alike, that if you're going to be on a winning team, then you better be on Christ's team. You better let him be the head of your life. So the point is that you have to give Jesus a chance in your life. Now, she said, well, how do you go about doing this? Well, in the first place, you have to realize that the Bible is a book for Christian living. That's exactly what it is. I'm talking about the New Testament now. I don't mean there aren't things in the Old Testament that can help us, but I'm talking about those things that tell us how to live for the Lord. And all you have to do is to remember that the first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, tell us about the life of Jesus. Those are books of biography. The book of Acts principally tells us what to do to be a Christian. And then the rest of these epistles, including Philippians, that we're using as a background for what we're talking about in this series, these books have to do with Christian living. And if you don't know what the Bible teaches, then how are you going to know how to live the Christian life? You know, if you receive some appliance, and maybe you got to put the thing together, part of it, you got to have the book of directions. You've never put this together before. You're just taking a chance that you'll get together right. And even if you've got a book of directions, you may wonder if the thing is right. When it comes to the Bible, you have a true teaching for Christian living. Now, there is comfort in love. There is actually consolation in Christ. There is fellowship of the Spirit. There is affection. There's love that's found in Christ Jesus. After all, God so loved the world, a world even in sin, that he gave his only begotten Son. So what am I saying? Well, I told this lady, just like I want to tell you on the broadcast today, that you take these things into your life. You realize that when you begin the Christian life, you're starting from point zero. You're a newborn babe in Christ, that you might desire the sincere milk of the Word to grow thereby. Now, the devil's going to fight against you. But keep this thought in mind. He can't force you to serve him any more than does the Lord force you to serve him. So what do? You get this input from the Word of God into your life. You realize, even as Paul said here, that there is a consolation in Christ. He overcame death. He's going to be the victor. He's going to be the winner in the end. So there's a consolation in Christ. And to realize that he loves you, that he's concerned about you. And if you're a Christian, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open unto their prayers. You know, I've talked to people who said, well, if I just had somebody to talk to. And I think about this a lot of times when I go to nursing homes. When I find that there are people who sit there in a rocking chair by the window or maybe looking out in the hallway for weeks and nobody comes and visits them. Nobody comes and talks to them. Someone says, I got to have somebody to talk to. Well, you always have someone to talk to if you're a Christian. And that's a plus. You know, there's a lot of people you can talk to if you're in the world. And you know, they may be looked upon as being friends. But in the final analysis, let's keep this point in mind. One of the best illustrations of what that course can be is that you may have a lot of so-called friends that are going to be with you just like, well, the prodigal son had a lot of friends when he had all that money. But when he was down, when he needed to talk to somebody, when he needed help, there he was out in the proverbial pig pen, and the book says he came to himself. Well, I hope you come to yourself before you get in the pig pen. Now, she wasn't in the pig pen spiritually. And I said, you see, you got to look what you got going for you. Then you take these things into your life. You don't give place to the devil. And the more you take into your life of this Christianity, the more there is the opportunity to drive that out which wars against the soul. I think it can be reduced to this denominator. There's a happiness to know, first of all, that you're doing the right thing. Now, you're going to make mistakes, but the Lord's got that big eraser there, and he tells the Christian to repent and pray that the thoughts of your heart might be forgiven you. So though those marks that you're going to make that are wrong, there's an eraser there. You can talk to God about these matters. He understands everything. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open unto their prayer. Now try to do the right thing. Now there's a consolation there to realize that he loves you 24 hours a day. You've got this hotline to heaven as a Christian. You can talk to him any day, any hour of the day or night. And then the point is that when you put these things to work in your life, you realize that he is number one. And you look at how Jesus lived upon this earth, how he went about doing good. You know, there are people that you can say things to. You don't have to have a lot of money to make this thing work. There are things that you can do for people that money won't possibly buy. The cheery smile. The friendship. Well, someone says that person is grouchy. So what? You don't have to be the same way. You know, it's just like going in a dark room. You don't say, well, I won't turn the lights on because it's too dark in here. You turn the light on, and that changes the whole appearance. Haven't you been tossing on your bed at night and thinking about some problem and knowing that it's going to be a few hours until you're going to have to face it, and then you finally drop off to sleep? When you wake up in the morning, there the sun comes up. It's a wonderful day. God made that possible. Let's not forget that. And things look altogether different in that new day than they did the night before. And I believe that's the way it is. If you stay in the darkness out here, if you stay in the sin of the world, if you keep reasoning negatively and saying, well, will I miss out on something? I want to be a Christian, but I'm afraid I'll miss out on something. You see, you stay out there in the dark, you're stumbling around. But here comes the sunlight of his love. Here comes the cleansing rain of forgiveness that he pours down upon us. And there's that beautiful day in which the sun bursts forth and you're glad to be alive. The physical examples of life can teach us a lesson. Now, the point I want to say is that Paul said, you fulfill my joy. I'm a prisoner, but you got an opportunity to serve the Lord. Now, you be like-minded. You be of one accord. You have a love one for another. You know, that's the way to meet the problem alive. Show forth love to people. They're going to oppose you, but you know the spirit of Christianity is contagious. You let someone come into a room that's a Christian, and by what that person says and by what that person does, he can change the whole atmosphere of that room. You know, you can talk about this subject for a long time, and we just scratched the surface. This is a Christian living series brought to you by your friend and neighbors of the Church of Christ right in your own community. We hope you'll contact the brethren if you haven't been there. Attend the services, let them know that you're listening to the broadcast, let other people know about it, and let's sit down together next time and talk again about those things that will make our life go for Christ.